So that is Christianity. Yes. Now we go to the next religion. The next religion was Islam, the Muslims. And where did the Muslims come from? You know, Abraham had two wives. Yeah. In fact, the other wasn't really a wife, a concubine. Yeah. He had Sarah and he had Hagar. And from Hagar came forth Ishmael. And from Ishmael comes forth a tribe called the Quraysh. Or Ishmael was connected to the Quraysh tribe. And from the Quraysh tribe that settled or was settling around the Kaaba, in the area where they built the Kaaba, yeah, the pilgrimage of the Muslims is, that Quraysh tribe settled there, yeah, and that's where Ishmael connected to become a chieftain. He was a chief of the tribe of the Quraysh. Are you catching that? And from that came the Muslims, the Islamic religion. How many religions are those? Those are three. Okay. So let us go to the fourth one. Huh?
Hinduism.
Yes?
It should be Hinduism, right?
Yeah, the last one is Hinduism. The fourth one is Hinduism. So Hinduism also came from Abraham. So Abraham had again two wives. He had Sarah and he had Keturah. And from Keturah came forth sons. And those sons were given gifts. And the gifts were given unto them, they were not physical gifts. Okay, he gave them physical gifts too. But he gave them spiritual and psychological gifts. And they went and they settled towards the east and they became the Hindu priests. From where Abraham was, you look east, it was India, Asia. So the children of Keturah, he sent them away to separate them from Isaac. And when he sent them away, he sent them towards the east, which was India, and they became Hindu priests, and from that came Hinduism. Is everybody listening to what I'm saying? Now, Keturah, let us put a clear picture on this. Keturah was Hagar. Hagar. When Hagar rebelled, she went with Ishmael, and she went back to Egypt. But the rebellion of taking a child away from Abraham, because Abraham was a great king of those days. He was the sun shining. So she couldn't run away from his kingship because Abraham was ruling. He was the leader, God's leader in that time. Now, how can you steal something from a God's leader of that time? You can't. So she takes the son to Egypt and she becomes convicted. So much convicted that she stayed without a man. She kept herself without a man. And she prayed to God, because you had given me this commission to be with Abraham, but I mistreated him and his wife, and I took a child that we had committed myself to, this child that I will give him to the... But look what I have done. She realized her evil, she repents. When she repents, she keeps herself away from getting married and stays without. And then she heard that Sarah died. When Sarah died, she returned and she was called Keturah. Now, the difference between Hagar and Keturah, the word Hagar means a bond woman, a rebellious woman, a self-willed woman, a stubborn woman, who is so stubborn that she rebels against the laws that are supposed to govern her. Okay? And then she went to Egypt and she took Ishmael. Now, when you take a child that comes from a man, a great man like Abraham, the enemy will use that child in the negative. And the enemy took that child and he connected to the Quraysh tribe of warriors, which I'm not going to go so deep in this teaching, because I know many people are going to listen to this teaching. So, yeah. But you know that the area, the Kaaba, yeah, where the Kaaba is, that area where the Kaaba is, where the Quraysh tribe established its own center, yeah, where they came from and they go to scatter. They were very good at doing business, merchants, very good merchants. That area, that's where the scripture says unto us, and I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Where did he fall? He fell in the wilderness, or he fell in the desert. That's the area where he fell, where the Kaaba is. Are you catching what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
Yeah. So from that came a Quraysh tribe. And this Quraysh tribe was very good in merchants and selling and doing businesses on the level of imbalanced business. Business does not fall on the moral balance. Business that is inspired by the one who fell in that place. Are you catching what I'm saying? Now, this is very important. When God gives us something, let us use it for the godly purpose he gave us for it, or else we shall use it or we shall hand it over to Satan. That's the mystery, what we learn from Hagar. So when Hagar returns, she returns as Keturah. Now the Hebrew word Keturah means a sweet smelling incense that was burnt on the altar of prayer in the holy place. That altar of prayer with four horns, where they burned the incense, that incense that they burnt in that area, it was an incense of intimacy. So whenever God smelt it, it was a sweet-smelling aroma in his nostril. And guess what? They give the name to Hagar, and they call her what? Keturah. Notice how the name changes from Hagar, born woman, to Keturah, sweet-smelling incense. What happened to her when she came first? Maybe she refused her name to be changed. Maybe she refused her name to be changed. She lived according to her name until her name got her in trouble. When she got into that trouble, she said, I want to return. She repented to the God of Abraham. She prayed to the God of Abraham. She was a very faithful woman towards the God of Abraham. She couldn't go back into these bad, dodgy behaviors of Egypt. She couldn't. She stayed faithful. And when she got an opportunity to return, it was after Sarah's death. She returns and she's not called Hagar. We don't even see the connection in the Bible, the written Torah that we have, the Bible, connected to Hagar. We don't see her connected to Hagar. But when you read the oral law, she's Hagar. It means that when you change and your attitude change, that even your previous life that was so bad can never be connected to your new name. You change Nephilim. You change the costume. Totally change costume. So when she gave birth to her children, they're the ones that went to Asia. So all these big religions, they all spring out of who? These four religions. Yeah, they all spring out of Abraham. If he's the father of all these religions, what does the father of these religions want his children, his fathering, to know, to return? So that is the Abrahamic covenant. I expounded on that so that we may get understanding out of the Abrahamic covenant. Let us go to the next covenant. The Abrahamic covenant was with what? It was the fourth one, yeah? Let us go to the Mosaic covenant. Yeah. Mosaic covenant is the covenant of Moses. He went on Mount Sinai. God gives him the commandments to all the 70 nations, the 72 nations that were in the world. The covenant of Moses, the commandments coming down, the Torah coming down, given unto Moses so that Moses may transmit it to the world. Now listen to this. Mysteriously, the name Moses comes out of the word Mosaic, the Mosaic law. They say, according to the way humans are structured, some scientists have discovered that in our DNA, there is a concealed element that displays the Mosaic attitude or the Moses law. Within our DNA, if you look deep into our structure, there is a Mosaic structure in us, which means there is the law of Moses in us. When God gave the laws to Moses, he gave it to the whole world, not only the Jews, but to the whole world.
So I couldn't hear you good. You said related of what again? Sorry.
The Moses wrote down the five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy. Those five books were written by Moses, yeah? So that is literally the Mosaic law. That's the Mosaic law. Yeah, that's the Mosaic law. So in within every human being, in the human DNA, there is that space that is related or connected to that Mosaic law. On the level of science, scientists have discovered that in the human DNA, that place that reflects Moses' law is there. Okay? And that's why Yeshua says to us, that don't say who will go up there to get the laws and bring them down here so that we may keep them. Yeah? But these laws are in your mind. Yeah? In the structure of your mindset. They are in your heart. DNA. It's just to love God, to know Him, to want Him, and then you revive that. You reactivate that part of you, which is already in you, because it's there. So that's why Yeshua said that let none of you say that who will go on the mountain, who will go up there to heaven to bring us these laws. He says that the laws are in within you. What was he saying? That the Mosaic, Moses' laws, they are even concealed in the structure of your DNA, in your genetics. They are there. And if you seek yourself to the truth, and you are hungry for the truth, and you are pursuing and you are passionate for the truth, that DNA begins to generate its energies to pursue after its desires. That desire is revived because it is in within every human being that came out of Adam. Are you listening to what I'm saying now? That is the fifth, number five, Mosaic law. Now let us go to the sixth law. Six was the Davidic. That when God ever came to us, the Davidic covenant, the Davidic covenant is he reached to the level of even becoming a king. He was not only a god ruling over the world up there, but he became a king in Israel. Which means that a king is somebody that is coronated by the people, originated, or saying that he is established in the earth. And we commit ourselves to the king to do what? To submit our ownings, our possessions, our lands, they all belong to the king. That's why we coronate him king. We crown him as our king. God reached to that level that he was crowned as a king. And he had a man who played that role, King David, a man of God's own heart. That is the Davidic covenant. That is the number six covenant. Are you listening to what I'm saying now? Now we go to the seventh covenant. The seventh covenant is called the Messianic covenant. That is the Yeshua covenant. Hallelujah. The Messianic covenant, that is the Yeshua covenant. This Yeshua covenant is the last one, number seven. It collects all the six ones and brings them together like a Shabbat does, and it rewards, it unites, it complements. It agrees with all these six and brings them into a unity of teamwork. And it blesses the people. That's the Messianic covenant. And that's the Yeshua covenant. And that's the last covenant. Hallelujah. Is everybody listening? And the seventh son from Adam prophesied. And the seventh son from Adam lived a prophetic life. A prophetic life that was instructions from heaven to the level that he was taken away because he pleased what? He pleased God. So this is the generation that is going to be raptured. This is the generation that is going to live up to the revelation of rapture, that God will rapture. And why this generation? Every evil that we know has climaxed in this generation. Every temptation that we know has come against this generation. Every bad thing that we know, this generation is living in the climax of every evil. But yet, this is the same generation that will turn away from all this evil and desire to be raptured, desire to serve God, desire to do the will of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Adam, the God of Enoch, the God that commands us to keep the Shabbat, the God that commands us to keep his holy seasons and his holy feasts like Passover, Pentecost, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hanukkah. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The Feast of Tabernacles. Talk about Elul, the 40 days of seeking God with passion. Hallelujah. This is the generation that is going to know all these revelations, and they're going to fulfill the kinetic of every revelation. Is anybody catching what I'm saying now? Now, those are the seven covenants which corresponds to the seventh son of Adam, which corresponds and it's related and connected to the generation that we are in, that will confront the blessings of God in the dimension of the seventh level. In the dimension of the seventh Shabbatical order and Levitical order of the God of Israel. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, I bless everybody that is listening right now. And I pray that this anointing of the seven covenants has brought us into a short historical description of our history. But let understanding come. Let the opening up of ears and understanding, the ability, Father God, your people to perceive and to conceive what you are calling them to be and what you are calling them to manifest and what you are calling them to reflect and expose to the world. Father, I empower the positive Nephilim. I strip over the negative Nephilim of the wicked one, of their lives, and I cultivate, and I incarnate, and I speak, and I proclaim over the positive Nephilim, and I put it upon them as a garment, and let them wear that garment of favor, wear that garment of humbleness, submissiveness, willingness to learn new things, to understand the God of Israel, and to overcome the God of this world of selfishness and greed. Somebody holler and say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Read. Somebody holler and say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.